Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with my co-host, so glad to have him back, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, boy, it's life on the road, man. It's good to be back.
Oh, my gosh. We've gone to some special places, and once again, we are going to a place that I look forward to come to. I have a couple of grandkids, and I'm dying to bring them somewhere that is educational and entertaining. And
this is a cool place. Yeah. I've already walked on water and seen three species of bass this morning.
And did you catch a fish?
No. They wouldn't. They took my pole away from me.
Okay, well, we're going to find out about the rest here, about what you can do here. It's located in Springdale, Arkansas. So we're going to start, we'll start with Shelly because she's right off to my right. Tell them who you are and your position here.
I'm Shelly Corey, and I'm the director of the Ozark Highland Nature Center here in Springdale, Arkansas.
Yep, and then we'll go to Steven. He's on our far right.
I'm Steve Dunlap, and I'm the program coordinator here at the Nature Center.
Okay, and so tell us, we'll start with you, Steven. Tell us a little bit about the center here. How long has it been in existence?
Well, we just opened in December, so this is a project that's been ongoing for several years. Through a lot of effort, through a lot of cooperative efforts with donors and contributors, we were able to get this facility up and going. And we're so fortunate in that it's really situated in almost the perfect location. And that has a lot to do with the cooperation partnership we have with the city of Springdale.
All right. Shelly, tell us the complete name of the facility here, because it's a long one.
It's a long one, but it's a cool one. It's the J.B. and John L. Hunt Family Ozark Highlands Nature Center. Say that five times fast.
Yeah. I was thinking you need an acronym. Like Fish Arkansas. If you could have just, you know, somehow figured out the letters to make it that would have been awesome.
Hey, you could shorten that. You just call it ArcFi.
There we go.
Arcfish.
That's actually pretty good.
But we shoot BB guns and stuff here too, so we can, and I saw the quite awesome quail hunting display up front.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we might ought to call it ArcFi, huh?
You know how to get us off track, Mitch.
But I'm totally going to steal.
Carry on with your show, Brad.
tell us about the facility here. What does it cost to get in? I mean, you let us in, but hopefully you're more selective than.
Yeah, they probably will be next time.
Well, the good news is that it is free to come.
Oh, wow!
Here. So
awesome.
All age, anyone?
Anyone? Yeah. Oh. So the only thing that we're doing right now is we're doing timed ticketing, which those are free, but you have to get those online so that we can manage the numbers to fall within the parameters for the COVID guidelines and things like that. So you can go online, and we let 20 people in every 30 minutes, 40 people an hour, and we're open from 8:30 to 4:30. Tuesday through Saturday, and 1 to 5 on Sundays. So, we've been having great response to being open, and the tickets sell out on the weekends for sure.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've even had to turn people away at the door on the weekends because we didn't have any more time slots to give.
So, wow, what a great problem.
Yeah.
Like
the pleasant problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Arkansas is one of those states that hunting and fishing is just so popular, and it's part of the heritage that you find here. And talking about heritage, I walked around, I saw some stuff. What's the history behind this? How did this come to tuition?
Go for it.
All right. Well, there's always been a need for the game of fish to have a stronger presence in Northwest Arkansas. And the problem with trying to build anything up here is finding the land to do it. It's, as y'all know, it's pretty pricey up here. But the city of Springdale, once they heard that we were going to you know, invest in a project like this, donated the 62 acres that the building is on and the grounds. So
it's an amazing little property too.
It's amazing property from 40th Street to the interstate, and then the north border of the property is Spring Creek.
It's like 60-something acres?
Yeah, 62 acres. It took about 2 years for it to get completed.
Right.
The Hunt family made a very generous donation to get the project off the ground, and many other donors have come in as well as partners to get us over the finish line.
Yeah. Wow, and the funding for this facility, where did it come from?
Well, it came from a lot of places. We're going to give you some specific numbers here, but the land donation from the city was worth over $3 million. Private funding, $8.5 million. Federal grants, just under $3 million. And then Game and Fish from license plates, a little over $2 million. And then...
Yeah,
and then $3 million from Game and Fish. So it has really been, truly been a community effort and a synergy of a lot of people. Because when you look at that private funding number, $8.5 million, that's the biggest number in there.
Wow.
And that's all private funding, like the Hunts and the Walker family and the Schmieding Foundation and a host of other people that are on our donor wall out there that really came alongside and partnered with us and believed in the project and wanted to see it happen. And that's just tremendous that there is so much excitement for a project like this up here.
Right. Mitch?
Yeah.
You love Springdale, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love this place right here.
Oh, Northwest Arkansas?
Well, Northwest Arkansas is kind of home, dude. I mean, but I love this little property right here. I before we walked in this morning, I Google mapped it and kind of sky viewed all over it. I could see two deer rubs over here in this corner, and I'm pretty sure I've seen a covey of quail running the fence row over there.
What did you see? Because we did a quick walk around. What did you see that kind of caught your eye that you were kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool?
Well, let's see. We walked through a cave. I walked on water. Yes, mm-hmm. I did. I walked.
There we have it.
All you people back at my office, I walked on water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you stomp on the water, though? That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Oh, stomp. What's the deal with stomping on the water?
Well, apparently that's what everybody likes to do. They first they touch it, and then they step on it, and then they stomp on it, see if it actually.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mitch can only walk on water. He hasn't quite got into stomping. Yeah.
You are the first person I've heard say that you've walked on water.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here.
I'll do it again after.
Here.
You know, I believe you.
Yeah. I had to come here to do it, though.
Yes.
All right. Second person in the history of the world.
Yeah. If Jesus was here, he'd probably walk across the creek down here. But I took the display version myself. So.
I think if he was here, he would be awful proud of everyone that was willing to donate and give their time and sacrifice. And the people that are working here, you know, taking the time to work with youth. You know, we have a lot of our shows, we get to work with people that work with youth, and they're working so that the next generation's going to have hunting, and the next generation's going to have fishing, next generation's going to have hiking or whatever it is outdoors and learn. And so you actually have, do you have classrooms in here?
Yes, well, this is actually three classrooms that we're in, and then we have two pavilions that'll be outdoor classroom space.
Right.
One of them is what we're calling the Quail Pavilion, and then the other one is the archery pavilion next to the 3D range. This facility also has a 10-lane indoor archery and air gun range.
With instructors.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So a kid can learn gun safety and learn how to shoot a BB gun, whatever. Or bow and arrow, whatever. Did I see something else that you have, like a walking bow facility where you walk through and shoot targets as you walk?
Right. That's where the Archer Pavilion comes in.
Okay.
From there, it's a boardwalk that takes you through a 12-lane 3D range, and we've got two targets per lane.
How cool is that?
And unfortunately, because of COVID, you know, we have to stay by these guidelines. We can't do the indoor shooting classes like we want to, but
yet.
But the 3D range is available now, and so anybody can bring their bow. And as long as you know, you're using field points or the bullet points, not we can't use broadheads, but you can bring your bow and shoot the course.
Awesome!
It'll really bone you up too, because we didn't make it easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some of those targets are pretty challenging.
Okay.
What's the distance range?
We've got them set up anywhere from 20 to there's a few beyond 40.
Is there a range, like an age range? For these people that are coming to use the ranges, do they have to be a certain age?
No, they don't have to be a certain age, but if you're under 14, we kind of like someone to be with you.
Parental supervision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitch says that. You need it too, Brad.
Mitch says that because, like, when he was a kid, he had none, probably. And so what he ended up being is a fishing tackle retailer.
Yeah.
So listen up, kids.
Yeah. This could happen to you, too, if you don't pay attention in school.
You could end up working, you know, 80 hours a week selling fishing tackle.
Yeah.
Greatest job in the world, is it not?
Oh, I can't think of anything else I'd rather do.
There you have it.
But, that's what I was put here for.
If someone comes through the front door, say they got the tickets, what's the first thing that's going to meet them, and what should they do?
The first thing that they're going to see is probably our live quail exhibit.
Okay.
And one of our employees hatched out a clutch of quail, kind of grew them up, and then we were able to put them out on display, and they've grown quite a bit. They're what were they, about 2 months old now?
Yeah, that sounds right.
About 2 months old now, and they're getting. They're getting almost, you know, up to an adult size. And what's interesting about that is you don't commonly see birds on display in like a terrarium setting at centers. And very few people have ever seen live bobwhites.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. they may be familiar with the call, but the quail in Northwest Arkansas aren't nearly as plentiful as they used to be.
That's a fact.
And so you have a lot of the old timers that'll come in with their grandkids, and they'll say, "Well, those are quail. I used to hunt those. We used to see them all the time." And then, but the grandkids have never seen them, and they're fascinated by these little birds.
Yeah, that's cool.
We have a lot of live animals out there, but I will say that having spent a number of hours up there watching the public come in, they are, I think, most fascinated by the quail. It's a unique thing to get to see. Not that the other live animals aren't cool, but we see a lot of people just planted right there in front of that display watching those quail.
So they come in the door and they have their ticket. So is it a virtual ticket? Are they using their phone? How are they showing that they're part of, you know, that they have that to come in and they can start?
We're using a system called Eventbrite, which is all, you know, internet-based. So let's say that, for example, someone goes online and they get 5 tickets for their family, and they come. If they forgot those tickets or can't find it on their phone, all we need is their last name, and we can look it up through our system, and we check them in using that system. So it's really easy. You don't have to panic if you forgot the printed part or like that. We can we'll figure it out and get you in the door. So
you said that's how many can be in here. The shooting range, since that's outside, is that different then? Your number wise?
The 3D range?
Yeah, is that because it's outside?
If you're coming to shoot the 3D range, you don't need a ticket. You just need to bring your bow and head on out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as you're not coming in the building, you don't need a ticket. So if you're just going out to the 3D range, you can.
I predict that's going to be very, very popular.
Yeah, we're already seeing groups, you know, people coming in together. I was leaving yesterday and it was getting dark, and I saw someone coming back in from the range with their bow. And
So they come to the desk, they got their ticket. Where's the first place are they headed?
to the exhibit hall.
Okay.
Which has our live animals, our aquarium, the digital stream, the interactive stream that you experienced this morning.
So they can walk on water,
they
too.
They can walk on water, too. and our interactive exhibits, we have a laser shot where you can practice hunting all kinds of different things.
Right.
Like, what are all the critters?
Oh, you can dove hunt, duck hunt, deer, turkeys, bears.
Wow.
You just pick your passion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then when you're done with that, we encourage people to, if the weather's nice, and to go out on our, we have 3,000 linear feet of paved walking trail. And so it's for, you know, pedestrians and ADA accessible and all that. So definitely encourage people to go outside. And we've had a lot of people, when the weather's nice, just getting out there. So.
Yeah, we're about 45 days away from this place being extremely busy, aren't we?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, so we're counting on it.
Yeah, December 10th is when you open, correct?
11th.
Yeah.
The 11th? Yeah. So they haven't been open very long.
Nope, they haven't. We're going to get the word out here and let people know this is about as cool a place as you can be right here.
Absolutely.
I've seen nothing I didn't find fascinating so far, and I haven't even begun to see it all yet.
We're taking Mitch on a tour after this, and we'll show you some of the stuff that is really cool and maybe our favorite part. We've tried to keep Mitch out of where the smallmouth and the Kentuckys are.
Well, you just did that because you knew I might have brought a lure in my pocket.
Okay, this is my question. Is Mitch went over to the, it has the reel and the bobber in there, and so he tried to catch a couple of fish, and each time he did not hook his fish.
Ah.
So is there any tips for
there's a reason why some of us make tackle and some of us go fishing, you know?
You know where they put that in? I couldn't catch anything either.
Yeah.
And it's a fish simulator, and you have to be patient. You have to let that bobber get all the way under the water.
I'm not a patient man.
So you have to wait. There's a little trick to it.
You got to be patient.
Yeah, you got to watch.
It'll bounce. You know how they'll bounce.
Yeah.
You got to wait until it goes all the way under.
Then what do? You press the button real quick?
No, you set the hook.
Oh, you're supposed to grab the rod.
Yeah, see, we don't even know how to fish, Brad. We don't even know the first thing about
this. Well, it's a good thing you came here so I can teach you how to fish properly.
All right.
We plan on making a video about that. So, Bat Cave. What about the Bat Cave?
Well, that cave is a clone of War Eagle Cavern.
Okay.
Oh. The artists that came in, the folks at War Eagle Cavern let us go in and take several cave impressions.
Huh.
And then they took those impressions and mimicked those features and
no
the textures
kidding.
Of the rock and all that kind of stuff and created the cave that we have.
Sweet.
So it's fairly
That's
close
cool.
to something that is here.
No kidding. Wow. Arkansas is a pretty diverse state.
Very diverse, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything outside that we haven't talked about that is available to the public?
Well, one thing that you'll notice when y'all go outside is we are in the beginning stages of transforming a lot of this property over to native warm season grasses and developing a demonstration quail habitat area.
Nice.
So what you see out here is just a cover of winter wheat.
Yeah.
It's already been seeded with a lot of our native warm season grasses.
Okay.
That'll start to come up in the spring.
You're not going to put the native briar patches and everything that Arkansas
is famous for. I'm hoping for blackberries. But
yeah. You can go down to Fayetteville here and you can get some of them thornless blackberries.
Thornless blackberries, the ones
the University of Arkansas developed.
Yeah. And the hope is we can be an example of what other folks can do on their own place.
Right. Yeah.
If they're wanting to encourage things like turkey and quail and other ground nesting birds.
Right.
Have the right type of habitat on the ground. Because it'll not only help things like turkey and quail, but all the wildlife.
Sure.
Do you host events?
We will be, but it's just not something we can do right now.
So you're going to, and the classrooms are open to, I assume, schools. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. As soon as schools can take field trips.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, we still have to comply with the with the things from the Department of Health. So, you know, we're built to be very, very busy. And we want to be very busy, but we also have to still be cautious and, you know, keep in mind everybody's health this time.
We are speeding through that, hopefully. So that's the one great thing about fishing is for Mitch and myself that love that, that's an outdoor activity. And yesterday I was out in my boat, and there's no way anything of mine got onto anyone as hard as that wind was blowing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when he was talking about the people out here shooting their bow yesterday, I wonder if that was the challenge that brought them out here, is how to shoot a bow in 40-mile-an-hour wind.
Well, it's a great place to practice for that.
Right. Excellent. So that takes us up to tackle time. And, of course, Mitch is here. Mitch, tell us, what do you have up your sleeve?
Well, you know me, Brad. I've always just got a little something up my sleeve.
Can't wait until you have a crankbait up
there. It almost came out when we got to the aquarium back there.
What do you have?
Let's talk about jigs. Two different kinds of jigs, two different styles of jigs. They're both jigs. This time of year, we've got very cold water. I think we're down in the upper 30s, maybe around 40 in parts of the lake right now. So, but that can change as you go on through the day and warm up the upper layer of the water column. So what I like to do is have at least two different styles of jigs. What I have here is called a bunny butt. That's a rabbit hair jig, and it's short tail, and it's working very well down in Florida right now where the crappie are real starting to come shallow. Okay. What this type of jig does is give you just the action of a minnow, that kind of like a darter minnow going through the water. Here we have the good old doll fly style marabou jig. What this has got is a big bushy tail, and it's made out of a marabou material. And if those fish are coming up in the water column, whereas I may be casting this to get down to them and darter it through them, when they start coming up in the column, they're going to be setting a little more still. And that is the time when I will take these marabou jigs and put them under a bobber at water and kind of keep them setting still somewhere, because the tail is going to do all the action for you and work like that. These are more of a cast and crank and come through a school. These are set it in their face and let it dance and bring the fish into you. Two styles of jigs, both by Pico Lures. We've got you covered.
There you go. If they want to find out more about your facility, what is your website and any social media pages they can go to?
So if you go to AGFC, to our website, and you'll have to find the tab that takes you to where all the education centers and nature centers are listed, and we're under there, and you can click on our location and find where you can get your tickets for free. Through that, you can probably, the easiest thing is if you are on Facebook, is to just go find our Facebook page, and then and you can find how to get your tickets through there too. So,
all right, great. I appreciate you being here, Stephanie.
Well, thanks so much for coming out and seeing us.
Great place, guys. I hope to see y'all again soon.
Well, maybe we can have y'all come up and maybe do a teaching class or a fishing class for us or something.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just promise me, if you see me wandering around out here like I'm lost, just ignore me and let me go on.
There you have it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.